Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cain Vineyard and Winery. Cain Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cain5.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. We're broadcasting from the back of Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my lovely son, co-host, Andrew, not the invisible Newman.
Hello.
Hi, Andrew.
All right, this one works. I wasn't sure.
And we're here today. Our producer engineer is Carlos, the one and only. Does he have a mic? We should call him Mikeless Carlos.
He does like to talk. Every once in a while, he gets out there. No, it's not working for him.
He's the only guy in radio that doesn't do it by mic. I don't get it. All right. Well, he's fixing things up in there. We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. All the shows are archived on the website. Free downloads are available. Podcasts are available through iTunes. And while we're streaming live, we'd love to hear from you. Call us. The number is
718-497-2128. Was that Carlos? 497-2128. I think he's trying to chime in with the phone number.
And then we have, you can email us, info@heritageradionetwork.com.
Yeah.
So, Carlos, are you ready to do the show today?
Oh, yeah, there he is.
We can hardly hear you,
Carlos.
It's
like Poltergeist over here. He's coming in from the hereafter or something.
We'll have to listen closely when Carlos speaks.
We'll just silence the crowd.
Yes. All right, so today's show, we're going to talk about money for food, or food for money. And we're talking about the food stamp program.
Oh, I was going to say, you can get food for money whenever you want.
Food for money.
Yeah, you could pay money for food.
Oh, no, but this is you're going to get money for food. Well, you're going to get money for food through the food stamp
program. I want to get food stamps.
Okay, well, maybe by the time we finish talking about this, you might want. I'm going to give you the criteria.
I want to be on the criteria.
Okay, he wants to qualify. Andrew wants to qualify.
I want to qualify.
All right, so the program, you know, it's been around a long time. They call it now. They don't actually call it food stamps program. They call it SNAP. It's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Wait, what happened to
it's
EBT? Mandate,
well, it's through an EBT card. Let me give you some information. It's a federal program, and it's given to the states, and the states run their program according to federal guidelines, but then they have their own rules and regulations. So we're going to talk about it nationally, but more, we're going to pay a little more attention to it locally or statewide. We have the state and we have the city. So food stamps can be based on need to individuals, families, senior citizens, or disabled people.
Can an individual get food stamps?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, and Andrew might run right out of here.
I'm very intrigued. I know Carlos was talking about it before, but so luckily he can't talk now about it. Ah, there he is.
Well, let me give you the general criteria. You know, there's a big stigma attached to it. It's out there to help people. There's lots of people qualifying these days for it. It's grown. The program has grown.
I think the stigma is an older stigma. I think nowadays, with the dichotomy of the country, I think a lot more people are accepting of it.
Well, right now,
and the recession.
I think that might be true, but there's still a lot of people that see it as a very, last resort. That's what I was looking for. So today, more than 45 million people, 1 in 7 Americans, receive benefits. And that is the most ever in the history of the program. Just 3 years ago, only 31 million people were collecting food stamps. That's a big jump. That's a huge jump.
I think it goes right in line with the unemployment rate and the fact that people are taking jobs that are less paying than they used to be.
Yes. Now, here's an interesting thing, because a lot of people have stereotypes of who's collecting food stamps.
I want to be collecting food stamps.
Okay, well, I'm glad you aspire to such a high bar.
Have you ever gotten food stamps?
Yes, I have.
Exactly. So I want to be like you.
Listen to me.
I want to be like
my
mom.
Those were not the happy days of my life. Those were very dark days.
I'm not saying these are my happy days.
Can I
Carlos,
tell you?
Are we in the happy? I don't think we're in the happy days. Carlos, I want Carlos to chime in on this, because he's not in the happy zone either.
Well, maybe he'll qualify at the end of this discussion. Okay?
Can you hit me with the requirements?
But let me finish one last sentence. So of the 49% of the people that receive food stamps are white. So half the program.
That's not surprising.
26% are black and 20% are Hispanic. Okay, so the program is not all loaded with...
So the other 7% are what?
I guess Asian and other things.
Oh, 26 and 20% you said?
Yes.
So 5% more.
Yes. Okay. So here's the guidelines. You ready? The guidelines are, if you have just straight up family, no elderly, no disabled members, okay?
So like a person like me.
Yeah, a family size of one, your annual gross, I'll give you annual grosses instead of monthly incomes. Mm. And it could go up monthly, because you could be out of work for 6 months and qualify and still you've made money. But let's assume, let's go do monthlies. So suppose you're unemployed for now. You're at your monthly gross income, almost $1,200 a month.
Unemployment is more than that usually, right?
$400 a week, yeah.
Oh,
well, the maximum, yes. So, but if you're a part-time employee...
And you're unemployed?
Or you're a minimum wage worker...
$1,200 a month?
$1,200 a month for one person.
How do you survive on that?
Two people... Well, that's what this is about. It's not for the happy days.
I'm saying you can't even afford an apartment.
Two people, almost $1,600 a month.
So only $400 more. Okay.
Three people, $2,000 a month.
Does that include children?
Yeah, number of people in your household.
Not income earners.
Oh, total income in the household, number of people in your household.
What if like...
So a single mother with four kids has a different criteria than a husband.
So it's like a five people then, you're saying.
Five people would be $2,800.
You make less than $2,800. Got it. So that's great. Okay.
So, a married couple with two kids, both unemployed, they can make $2,400 a month. So they could be collecting an unemployment check, $1,600 a month in New York State or New York City, whatever it is, and still be eligible for benefits. Now, if you have elderly or disabled, the numbers go up. They go up a few hundred dollars for each category. The maximum food stamps you're going to get, if there's one person in your family, right? If you're a one-member family, you're going to get $200 a month in food stamps.
That's not a lot of money.
No, but guess what? This is not here to buy lobster Thermidor here.
I'm not even looking at lobster. I'm looking at two meals a day.
Two people, you'll get $367 a month. Three people, you get $526 a month. Four people, you get $668. Do you want me to go on?
No, I think we got it.
Okay. So you see, the program is not, you're not living in the lap of luxury. When you qualify, things are a little rough. And let me tell you, there is some new information. They changed the criteria regularly. In New York State, you're allowed to have some money in your checking or savings account and even have a retirement or a college savings account. It will not disqualify you without affecting your eligibility. And most households no longer have to pass the savings resource test in order to get food stamps. I don't know what the rule is on
that. So if you're rich and you make no money...
Right.
This means
that the household assets, stocks, savings, and retirement accounts are not considered when determining eligibility.
That's retarded. So rich people can get food stamps.
You could.
Makes no sense.
Well, I don't think that most rich people are running down. I'm just saying,
like, if I'm just living on like a trust fund, I have no income.
Yep.
I got a savings account.
Yep.
I could go out and get food stamps.
Yep. I guess. And so you can go to the website and check it out. You can go do it right online.
Could I apply online.
Now.
I have a question. Can I have all my money go to you?
No, I'm not participating in fraud.
It's not fraud so much as taking advantage of the system.
Can I tell you a little bit more about the program?
Please do.
You know, they're really trying to feed the poor.
I understand.
Okay. So there's New York City has farmers markets, and they are working with the food stamps program called Health Bucks.
I had a friend who worked there.
Yeah, Health Bucks. So what that means, they closed it now at the end of the 2011 season, and they're going to restart it and give you a new program criteria in the beginning of 2012 season, which would be next month. They said come out in February. So for Health Bucks, it's worth $2 each for, give you one Health Buck coupon to every customer for spending $5 using food stamps at the farmer's market.
So you get 20% off.
Well, you get money back. You get money.
20% back.
Okay, you get 20% back. Andrew did the math. So that's a good thing. You got to go to the farmers markets that are enrolled in this program. Many of the farmers markets throughout New York City are enrolled.
Union Square was.
Right. So there's a thing called Health Bucks. It helps and adds a little bit more to your monthly food stamp because, frankly, you do run out of...
I was going to say, it's not a lot of money to purchase food, and you know, you're getting good quality food. The only question I have is, are those farmers markets more expensive than, say, a normal grocer?
I think the farmers markets generally are more expensive, but you get completely better nutritional food.
I understand.
So there are people who are on food stamps who say, I would rather eat better food.
But it's usually about quantity?
Well, it depends on you. You know what? If you do a lot of cooking from scratch and you can stretch your budget, you'll stretch your budget, okay? So, but there's a bit of stuff going on in the news this past month about Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bloomberg going back and forth about the fingerprinting aspect of the program. The law...
That seems like it's against your civil liberties.
Well, according to Mayor Bloomberg, he has everybody in New York City who collects have them fingerprinted. And in New York State, 60% of the recipients are in New York City. Mm-hmm. So we have the majority of food stamps. And Mayor Bloomberg says...
The majority of the population.
Well, I'm just talking about the food stamp people now. Mayor Bloomberg says, everybody's got to be fingerprinted. It helps with the fraud. We find that, you know, we can find people who are double dipping.
That seems... I think it's more about helping with the arresting of criminals.
Double dipping. What happens is if they don't have fingerprints, there are people, lots of people going around getting it for twice or three times.
How?
And I don't know how the program works, how they can do it.
But
the criminals, have figured it out, okay? So they have potentially duplicate benefits being issued. So by doing the fingerprinting, Mayor Bloomberg says, we have saved $5 million in taxpayers' money, and it only cost us $190,000 to implement the fingerprint program. Governor Cuomo comes along and says, it's too stigmatizing, and you're making people feel like they're criminals when all they are is needy. Mm-hmm. And so there is back and forth. Now, there's only one other state in the country that requires a fingerprint, and that's the state of Arizona. So Arizona and New York City have this fingerprint. New York City have this fingerprint requirement, and Governor Cuomo is at war with Bloomberg over it, and whether it's right or wrong, it's what's happening going on right now.
It seems, I just feel like it's more of a police investigative tool than an actual... Can they cross-reference this database when investigating like a crime or some sort?
I don't know.
We have to find out. Because that's all it seems like to me. Because I don't think people really are trying to take advantage of the system. And even if they are, honestly, $200... You know, the amount of money we're talking about here is not a significant amount of money.
Well, it could be. Every state has fraud.
Of course.
So let's talk about a little bit of fraud in the program.
Go ahead.
You ready?
I'm in.
First of all, we know that it's illegal to use food stamps to buy cigarettes, mm-hmm. liquor, other non-food items. No prepared food. You can't buy pizza. You can't buy fried chicken. You can't buy mozzarella sticks. But people get away with it, and that's where the fraud goes. Some of the fraud.
Well, it allows people,
The shopkeeper has to be in on the fraud.
Of course.
First of all...
Well, it allows him to sell something and make some money.
Yeah, but that's not what the program's for, okay?
Well, the people are eating.
They're eating.
It's not like they're going in buying sneakers. Listen. You can't go out and buy sneakers with your food stamps. Well, and if you can, that's an ingenious guy who's...
Well, if the supermarket happens to sell sneakers, they get away with it. Okay, so most of the food stamps...
How do you prevent it, though?
Most of the food stamps is processed and sold in the supermarket, 80% of it.
I'm sure.
So we only have 20% of the food being purchased.
I see
purchased.
A lot of delis and local
exactly.
bodegas.
So the bodegas and the delis are participating, and they're conspirators or they're co-conspirators in the scheme and the scam, okay? What happens is there's food stamp trafficking. And what they do is somebody goes in and buys a small purchase, and instead of ringing it up for $1.99, he rings it up for $41.99, and the
cash out the money.
They cash out the money, and the storekeeper keeps 20, and the guy gets $20. The recipient of the food stamp. So that's not okay. So that's where part of the problem is. Well, there's other scams going on too. This is the one that surprised me the most. This is the one that I absolutely can't believe it. They go in and purchase water or other beverages. beverages with bottle deposits, dump the liquid, and then obtain the cash for the bottle deposits. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
The math isn't right on that, no. But, you know.
5 cents? If you buy a bottle of water for a buck, you dump it for five, and you get 5 cents back? Wow. And then they also exchange the cards, the EBT cards. It comes on like a debit card on Craigslist and also all other social media sites. So that's the kind of crime. Now I have a couple of cases. Is this extreme or is this okay?
I think it's a little ridiculous.
Wait, let me tell you the crimes.
Okay, go ahead.
There's one woman down in Florida. Maybe we should take a break for a minute and come back, and we'll talk about the crimes, and we'll see if you think this is extreme or not extreme. We'll be back.
Is everybody over there in the van all right? Yeah. Everybody in here all right? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Tremé Brass Band once again rocks the house of the Louisiana Music Factory. One more time! Get with the program!
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. That was the Tremé Brass Band playing the food stamp blues.
Well, if you're on the food stamps, I don't think it's the blues because you got the free stuff.
Listen.
The good stuff.
Listen, when you're on food stamps, life is not that happy.
It seems like a glamorous life.
It's not glamorous.
You're buying and selling commodities. Okay. You're making money left and right. People are doing well.
I don't think you would say well. Okay, so here we go. Here's two cases. I want to wrap this up. We're going to talk about two cases, and then we're going to move on, okay? This is food stamp fraud.
Let's go.
This woman who was a mother of two, she got 3 years of federal prison for lying on a government application to obtain food stamps. Apparently, in this country, you are ineligible to eat if you have a record of criminal drug offenses. The states have an option of opting out of this federal ban, but this one state she lives in, Mississippi, is not one of those states. She had 4 drug convictions in the past. She was ineligible to receive food stamps, so she lied about her past in order to feed her 2 children. What do you think?
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, the total cost of her fraud was $4,367.
A year?
That's the total cost of her fraud.
All in.
Yeah. She has paid the money back. But paying the money back was not enough for the judge. He opted to send her off to prison.
That makes sense.
And he said her fraud was so outrageous. And he said that he decided to serve her up with a deluxe vacation. And gave her up. He could have given her up to 5 years. He gave her 3 years, saying, "This is abominable. She has been the beneficiary of government generosity, and it's over."
That makes no sense.
So here, the woman goes to prison for 3 years.
Of course, that was probably like $100,000 and $200,000.
Yeah,
that's
now,
like 40 grand a year to watch put a this, prison in jail.
Watch this. Now, in this lovely state of Texas, this guy. I'm going to try to say his name, so you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about. Parviz Sheikh Razay. 56 years old. He owns a supermarket in Brownsville, Texas. He's going to jail for 46 months for defrauding the food stamp program. What he did was he pleaded guilty, and he admitted to repeatedly exchanging the Lone Star card, the EBT cards, from participants for discounted amounts of cash.
Okay.
He would charge the government the full value, and he would discount them. Okay.
Make money.
And he made money. Illicit transactions.
Okay.
He got caught by an undercover sting, and he was sentenced to jail. He's serving 3 years.
Okay.
And he's also ordered to pay restitution to the Department of Agriculture.
Makes sense.
To the tune of $2,500,000.
Okay.
You think that's extreme or that's fair?
Comparably speaking, that's a lot worse than the last person.
No kidding.
But overall, there are probably far worse people out there.
Oh, there's plenty of crime.
That's I just don't, you know, like, honestly, he's providing, it's like a check cashing place. Should a check cashing place be, you know?
No, they have rules.
They take 5 to 10% or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, they're allowed. Those
are fees. It's the same thing. And what? But no. They cash checks for legal immigrants. Should we take the money that they're receiving as a fine? Because they're cashing checks to illegal immigrants.
This is money to be used for food.
How do you know what people do with the food? If the people don't need the money, what are you going to do with it?
If they don't need the food, you mean?
Yeah, well, they don't need the EBT dollars, whatever.
Then they shouldn't be collecting them. That's all.
What if they need the money for something else? What if they need money for the kids to go to get school clothes? How do you know what these people are using this money for?
If
you don't have money in the first place, you sign up for the program. Now you want to get some extra cash, maybe to do something. Maybe get your kid a Christmas present.
That's true.
You know,
however, don't use the food stamp program. The food stamp's for food. You know, it's
where else are they supposed to get the money?
Go get a job or find your family.
What if you have a job?
All right, well, there's a multitude of other ways to get money, not the food stamp program. And it's not structured for that. And they have to draw the line. It's used for food. The food stamp program's used for food. You need sneakers, find a sneaker program. Okay.
There isn't a sneaker program.
Well, there might be.
Let's call welfare.
Can we now move on?
Let's call welfare.
It was nice to talk about food stamps. In the end, is Carlos and Andrew going to sign food stamps?
I'm online.
He's going to look for it. He's going to look.
What's the website?
I don't know. Go look at
New York State. New York.
There's a food stamp program and go by state then.
NYS.gov or something like that?
I have no idea.
What's the New York State website?
Look on the New York State website. Oh, just type in food stamps. There's plenty of information.
Cool.
You know, let's now shift gears. Remember last week we talked about the finances of the restaurants and how they can cut costs?
I missed that portion of the show.
Well, now, you know, I was reading with interest this week about technology and how advanced technology wipes out jobs in America, and it's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been eating jobs forever, and I got to thinking about this. Let me just tell you what intrigued me the most. There's a new... Let me put my glasses on. There's a new program out there that is out to shrink the need of waiters and waitresses, and it's called E La Carte. All right. The company has produced a kind of souped up iPad that lets you order and pay right at your table. And it can be found at a restaurant near you soon. You select what you want to eat, add the items to the cart. Depending on the restaurant's preferences, the console could show you nutritional information, ingredients, lists, and photographs. You can make special requests like dressing on the side or more bacon. And when you're done, the order zings over to the kitchen, and then it tells them how long it will take for your items to come out.
Sounds like a fast food place.
Well, but it's going to be due to restaurants. Listen to this.
I know, but like what?
You can pay.
Applebee's or something?
You can pay on the console, split the bill item by item if you wish, and pay how you want. You can even have your receipt emailed to you. Each console goes for $100 per month. If a restaurant serves meals 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, it works out to 42 cents per hour per table, making it cheaper than any cheap waiter. So, you know, it got me thinking, 42 cents an hour. They pay the waiters more than 42 cents an hour, okay?
Well, no, per table.
Yeah.
If the person's working 10 tables, maybe they're working 11 tables. That's five something an hour. That's exactly the same amount as the person.
This might get things done a lot quicker and more efficiently.
Well, you still need food runners.
And then when the table is not being this an empty table, this is only costing you 42 cents and you're still paying the guy $45 an hour, okay? Let me just say something. Maybe you're too young to remember. Maybe you do remember.
Oh, the
when you went to the bank, when you went to the bank, you had to go to the teller and the ATM machine took over. Or when you went to the gas station, you pulled in and you had to wait for the gas attendant to come and fill up your tank. This could be the next extinct profession. Could be.
Well, no, it's different though, because they provide information.
I
specials.
Think that a lot of people. I go to the supermarket and I love the self check aisle. I don't have to deal with the cashier.
There's still a service provided. Like the person brings over water and food.
They didn't say servers. They said waiters and waitresses.
But the same person does that.
No. In most restaurants these days, a waiter takes your order and then a server brings your food out.
No.
Yes.
Well, it depends on the size of the restaurant.
Okay. So with that, we may be able to say, remember the days when we used to have waiters and waitresses and now we have a computer.
But they provide more information.
Well, the computer can provide more information than a person.
Like
think of an iPad. How cool would that be? You can just go over and you can even zing questions right to the iPad and you can get a response from somebody back in the kitchen. There's all sorts of options here.
I don't think it's a possibility. I guess, but I don't think it's going to be as much of a cost-cutting thing as you think.
Well, I think it's a possibility to make waiters extinct someday.
I don't think so, because waiters actually increase sales because they upsell items.
Yes.
And they give you ideas of what you should be paired with. Like, it's not like you walk into a restaurant and be like, I want this and this. Like, you go into a restaurant and be like, what's your special?
They can put the specials right on the iPad.
What goes well with the lamb of your wine list?
You can do that on the iPad.
I understand, but then you can be like, well, this is good, but then you can also upsell to this.
Okay. You know what? I think that this could possibly work very well. Just as other examples I just quoted.
I think so, but I think a good waiter or waitress will generate more revenue for you than this will save.
Mm. I agree with Andrew.
Because this is only going to save you, say it's 42 cents per table per hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say he's working five tables.
Mm-hmm.
That's, what, $2.10. That's for $3. Mm-hmm. You're saving $3 an hour.
You're assuming that the tables are all full all the time. Listen, let's move on. I don't think this is worth debating. We're going to see in a few years whether this is actually caught on or not. I think it sounds like a great idea.
Why don't they get rid of banks in general and just use ATMs and have a call center?
We do have far less tellers than we had just 10 or 20 years ago.
You go into a bank, there's a lot more customer service representatives.
Yeah.
You didn't have that many.
You go to the bank 100 times a year and you go to a teller maybe 3 times out of that 100.
Depends.
Okay. Well, I don't. When I have to go to the teller, I failed that day. Can I now please go on to Number Nuts?
Sure.
Let's go to Number Nuts. Call us and see what we come up with.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, this one's for Ray. Ray was reading the paper yesterday, and if you didn't read the paper yesterday, Romney released his tax return yesterday.
Did he?
He did. And so it was in the paper yesterday, and the article compared Obama and Gingrich to Romney and the median taxpayer. Okay? So
there's no comparison.
Well, I want to just point out a couple of things. You know all this nonsense going on about this payroll tax cut for 2% and the inability for the Congress to raise any rates on the rich. I want to point out a couple of things. We're going to talk about it. So we have Obama, we have Romney, we have Gingrich, and the median taxpayer. So the adjusted gross income, you know what
that
is.
For those three?
For all four. Median and those three politicians.
So it's a median, about $30,000?
$44,600 for the median. So that's
like a household.
That's a median taxpayer. That means half the people make more and the other half
the people
make less.
No, I'm saying for a household, it's not for an individual.
It's
across the board, the whole country.
It says so it's most individuals, taxpayers.
Individuals versus like, okay, so it's like, okay.
Okay.
It's just averaging all of them.
Yes.
Go.
So we got Barack Obama at $1.7 million, adjusted gross income, total income from all sources.
That's it?
$1.7 million. We got Romney at $21.6 million. We got Newt Gingrich at $3.1 million. And as we said, the median makes $44,600.
All in the same ballpark.
Okay.
They can all relate to each other.
Yeah. So, right. Exactly. It goes to show you how in touch these guys are with the 99%.
What was his adjusted? What was his taxable income?
I'm going to go across the board.
Okay.
So, the wages, out of that adjusted gross income, 23% of it was Barack earned in wages. He earned almost $400,000, which is his salary from the White House. Romney earned zero from wages. And Newt Gingrich earned $450,000 from wages. And the median taxpayer earned $31,500, which represents 71% of his income comes from wages.
That seems low.
14% of Newt's income comes from wages. 0% of...
Wait. Go back. Didn't you already say Newt made 450?
So 14% of his total income...
Of the 3.1 million. Okay.
or was from wages. Romney, zero earned from wages out of his $21 million.
And Obama was about
23% of his total income came from wages. So now we have investment income. Investment income being stocks, bonds, interest, dividends, all that kind of stuff. So Obama made $15,000. Romney made $20,700,000.
$15,000?
Yeah.
That's all he made last year?
Yep, in his investments, yes.
He's not investing properly. Go ahead.
And then Newt Gingrich made $35,000, and the median taxpayer made $1,300. So investment income, as many of you know, a lot of it
taxed
is
at the low rate.
Taxed at the 15% rate. So Romney's income, like 99% of it came from investment income.
So he's taxed at about 15 to 17.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Awesome.
So now the next line is the business income, S corporations, partnerships, trust income, other various incomes.
Okay.
So now Obama made almost $1.4 million through other business income and trust income.
Probably from his book sales and stuff like that.
Mitt only made $300,000 from that.
Well, most of his money's already invested.
Invested, right. And Newt Gingrich made $2.5 million from that.
Probably from his public speaking.
Yes. His other businesses. Yeah. And the median taxpayer made $700. Okay, so
my question is, you said the median income was 44.6.
Yeah.
And they made 30-something thousand on...
in wages.
Wages. Where's the shortfall? Rental income? Because you gave me 33 plus, plus another $2,000.
I don't know. This article's not addressing that. I'm sorry. I don't know where their other income comes from.
Gambling earnings?
Maybe they have rental income.
I don't know. Rental
income? Okay. I'm not sure.
I was just wondering.
Not interested.
Because that's why I was a little...
It's not clear here.
That wage income thing seems a little bit low compared to the...
You would think it's really close to
100.
I would
be like 90% or something at best.
You're right. Okay, so the charitable deductions, that's very nice. Obama gave almost $250,000 away. Romney gave almost $3 million away. And Gingrich gave away $81,000, and the median taxpayer has zero.
So Romney, in all of his graciousness, of his $21 million, he's taxed at about 15%.
I'm going to get to that.
I'm
going to get you his tax.
His
brackets.
Tax shelter. He probably pays like 12% tax.
Okay. So now, federal income tax, excluding payroll taxes. Okay.
Of course.
Not just as your income tax. Yeah. So Obama paid 26.3%.
Okay.
Which is what most Americans in his bracket do
pay. It'll be a little bit higher.
No.
There's in the 33% bracket, no?
Well, it's 33% and there's a 35% bracket. But when you blend it, okay. And he's got, he's got investment income. Not a lot. Okay. So he paid 26.3%. Romney paid 13.8% income tax.
Good for him.
Yeah. Gingrich paid 31.7%.
That's what I thought Obama would be like.
And the median taxpayer, who always complains, and I'm going to tell you from sitting on one side of the desk listening to him, he paid 2.3%, but they swear they pay the most taxes in America. All right?
I don't understand how you only pay 2.3%.
Because when they do their write-offs, they have their kids, their housing, all these mortgages and other things, they get down to zero. All right? Now they're with the payroll taxes. Obama went up 0.5%, if you include his payroll taxes, because he made almost $400,000. Uh-huh. Mitt Romney, he went up 0.1%. I don't know how that happened. And Newt Gingrich went up 5%.
So 36%.
And the median taxpayer jumped up 5%, almost 5%.
So you're saying all you pay is 8% of your taxes, taxable income, to taxes. So...
No, that includes that. Includes it.
No, I'm saying, so you said 5%. So it went from 2.6 to 7.6%.
Yes.
So my income's $44,000.
Yes.
I'm only paying 7.6% of that to taxes?
Including payroll taxes, yes.
All in?
Yeah.
So you're telling me...
That's why 49% of the country doesn't pay.
I'm only paying $3,000 in taxes a year?
That's right. Okay. I'm
calling crap on that one. All right, whatever.
Well, that's the end. So the point is, this payroll tax cut for 2%, how much is it really going to generate in Washington, in this country? The real deal is, forget that silly little 2%, and let's deal with the big fish, and that's raising the tax rate on the big people, the big money makers, and it's a lot of it's coming from these places where they only pay in 15% or less on their income. Mitt Romney's tax return is a clear example of it ain't working. Okay, we're done. Well, we were happy to have a great show today. We'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.